Welcome to Babbittville Radio, a place where you'll hear great conversations with the world's best and most inspirational runners, triathletes, and cyclists. Endurance lives here. Now, here's your host, USA Triathlon and Ironman Triathlon Hall of Famer, Bob Babbitt.
Welcome to Babbittville Radio. My name is Bob Babbitt. We are brought to you by the Tough Man Triathlon Series, by VeloFix.com, RunCatalina.com, the Catalina Marathon, coming up, the 40th anniversary on Saturday, March 11th. Our Challenged Athletes Foundation, we've raised over $80 million to keep challenged athletes in the game of life through sport. Check us out on Babbittville on iTunes and definitely subscribe to our Endurance World newsletter. Our next guest, President and CEO of Premier Event Management, Mr. Bill Burke. Bill, how the heck are you?
I'm great this morning, Bob. How are you? Happy holidays.
Well, happy holidays to you. And I'm so excited to hear that you, the Premier Event Management, has purchased the Philadelphia, Tri Rock Philadelphia, Tri Rock Lake Geneva, Nations Triathlon. How long has this process been?
You know, Bob, it seems like it's taken forever, but it's actually took 13 months to, from the time we started talking about this, to the executive team at, you know, competitor group,
right,
to last Thursday evening when the documents were finally signed and, you know, we could make this announcement this morning. So it took a while, you know, to get the transaction done, but we're excited. And, you know, we're super excited to have these events in our portfolio, of course.
Well, and talk about your portfolio. You're based in New Orleans, and talk about the other events that you're putting on, especially in the sport of triathlon.
Well, you know, the biggest events that most people would recognize, of course, are, you know, we, for the last 7 years, have produced Escape from Alcatraz, and for the last 17 years, we've produced the New York City Triathlon. Of course, that's owned by Lifetime Fitness.
Mm-hmm.
We produced 70.3 New Orleans, the Naperville Sprint Triathlon. But in the Olympic distance, you know, we do the Des Moines Triathlon, which is formerly the,
Hy-Vee.
All those fabulous years, is the Hy-Vee Triathlon. We do an Olympic distance here in New Orleans. And then, of course, we, you know, produce Nations for the last 10 years, Philly for the last five, and we produced Lake Geneva for 3 years. So it fits right into, you know, what we're doing. We have a couple of, you know, running events sprinkled throughout the year, maybe four running events. But we're a triathlon company, and we're a short course sprint and Olympic triathlon company.
And you go way back to, you know, we're talking the exciting days of duathlon, right? When you had the Dan and Duathlon series.
Oh, yeah.
And at that point there was the Coors Light duathlon series or biathlon series and the Desert Princess. So you go back a lot of years. What was it about the sport of triathlon that really intrigued you?
Well, you know, Bob, after you're correct about the duathlon series. You know, we had the Dan and duathlon series for, oh my God, it must have been 10 years.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Then, you know, I finally looked in the mirror and went, you know, this guy's getting bigger numbers at his triathlon, and maybe we should look at moving into that space. And so it was different, of course, than a duathlon. Of course, the water always adds some different difficulties, as we all know, and safety concerns, but you know, we made the jump into triathlon successfully, and I think the big thing for us was when the New York Olympic Committee was looking for someone to produce a triathlon to showcase New York for the 2012 bid. And in 2001, you know, the New York City Triathlon was born, and I've been the race director ever since. So it was a big leap in a major market and with huge success. And you know, there's been a couple of ITU events sprinkled here and there that we've produced in the United States. And, you know, it's been producing duathlons for that many years, you know, gave me a lot of, you know, the learning curve was not as tough when you switched to triathlon for sure.
And when you're talking about putting on triathlon in a big city, you're talking Philadelphia, you're talking San Francisco with Alcatraz, Nations Triathlon. These are major, New York, major markets. What are the complications that come when you're adding in, you're adding in swimming in the Hudson or the Potomac or the Schuylkill. You're adding a element that makes it tougher and tougher. Big city, big politics. How difficult is to put these events on?
Well, you know, those first couple of years, it's extremely difficult. And then after that, it's really about relationships, Bob, as you know. I mean, you've got to have the relationships in that city. The city has to trust you.
Right.
The agencies have to trust you because, you know, for instance, in New York, they basically say, here's the keys. We want the keys back in about 8 hours.
Yeah.
We need everybody out of the water. We need everybody off the highway. And we need this thing shut down at this time. And so when you've got a reputation for working with city officials and you've got to be straight and honest, and safety's always got to be the first and foremost concern. And when they see that after the first and second and third year, they realize, hey, you know, this guy obviously knows what he's doing. And so it does become a little bit easier when you've got a resume after 38 or 39 years of doing events that, you know, this particular gentleman and this particular company is going to dot every I and cross every T concerning safety first, and then, you know, the rest of the things usually fall in line.
We look at the sport of triathlon with what I call the endurance entertainment marketplace, with Spartan Race and Tough Mudder and Color Run and marathons and triathlon, Grand Fondo. There's so many options for people. There's more people putting on race numbers than ever before, but triathlon has been a little soft, where numbers have fallen off a little bit. What do you see? Because you're putting on, you've incorporated your Tri-Club Challenge down in New Orleans, and you're seeing numbers growing again, correct?
Yeah, we're seeing numbers that have been flat to declining.
Yep.
Actually, on a little bit of an uptick, and what we've done is we've tried to tap into, and we're going to do this in both Nations and Philly. We actually announced on social media yesterday, and I'll mention it here today,
yeah,
a new tri-club challenge between the tri-clubs of D.C. and the tri-clubs of Philly. You know, those cities are so close,
yes,
in geography.
Yep.
And so there will be the new I-95 tri-club challenge.
I love that.
And the winner of that challenge and the team that, you know, accumulates the most age group points between both events, the Philadelphia Tri and the Nations Tri, will be the I-95 Tri-Club champion for that year. And they will get a perpetual trophy, a large 3-foot trophy. The team's name will be etched on, and they'll keep that and brag about it for 364 days until the following year's event. Those types of friendly yet very competitive competitions between the local clubs, you know, as you know, I think 5 years ago, there might have been less than 1,000 tri-clubs in the U.S., and now there's almost 6,000 tri-clubs in the U.S. As race organizers, if we can touch on that competition,
yep,
to increase participation and in a small way, you know, satisfy what they're looking for, then we've accomplished something very positive for the sport.
You know, there was a point where we had the Toyota Cup Series and we had Hy-Vee with huge prize money and Lifetime up in Minneapolis with huge prize money. And then it just sort of went away. And a lot of the pros, Cam Dye and folks like that, they're sort of forced to step up to longer distance racing because there was really no way to make a living as an Olympic distance non-drafting professional athlete. And do you see that in the future that dollars could come back into the sport at that distance?
Well, yes, I do. You know, yes, it's true that the sport has kind of, you know, dried up from an Olympic distance standpoint, a short,
yeah,
course standpoint, where you're right. Athletes have had to go into the longer distances, 70.3 and the full distance Ironman, to make any sort of money.
Right.
And, you know, it's no secret that we've got involved in the purchase of these events to, you know, hopefully tie it in to a national series of some sort of events. And if we do that, then there is going to be some sort of a prize purse attached to these events. So, yes, I believe that's going to come full circle. Remember, you have an Olympic gold medalist now at the Olympic distance that we and every Olympic distance race director needs to take advantage of.
Exactly.
As well as USA Triathlon.
Yes.
You know, we've got a movement at our elite level, at least on the female side, and that's extremely important to us promoting this and showcasing this distance.
So when you look back at Hy-Vee, here was an event that's in Des Moines, right? It's in Des Moines, Iowa. The amount of exposure that event got, primarily because of the huge prize purse, and because of the huge prize purse, the athletes that were there, Olympic champions, sprint distance, sprint finishes, did it surprise you? Here, because again, this is an event. It's not in Chicago. It's not New York. It's not in Philly. It's in Des Moines, and it became really probably one of the top three events in the sport, primarily because of that investment.
You know, it made me realize that if you put on a good product, you can blow the doors off really in any market here in the United States. People are hungry for a great event. They were hungry, certainly, to watch the professionals, at that particular event, because the prize money was so over the top, Bob, as you recall.
Exactly.
And it was just so important to make it work, and people were thoroughly impressed by what they saw. At the high water mark between the kids' race and the sprint race and the Olympic race, they had 4,500 athletes in Des Moines, Iowa.
Des Moines,
Iowa.
Yeah, I know. That's the thing that's amazing. The other aspect, when I look from a selfish perspective, I look at Nations, Olympic, and Sprint. I look at Des Moines, Olympic, and Sprint. New Orleans, Olympic, and Sprint. Lake Geneva, Olympic, and Sprint. Philly, same thing. I look at that and I go, gosh, this could potentially be a paratriathlon series down the line, because you do have that. It's non-drafting, but it's a sprint distance event, which would be great for a lot of our paratriathlon athletes.
Well, yes, exactly. All of these events that we produce offer an Olympic component, a sprint component. We actually have thrown in an aqua bike. And, one of the things that we're interested in, as the race director of New York City, we hosted the Paratriathlon championships
for
6 or 7 years.
Yep.
And so we would love to host that. Can you imagine hosting that at the Nations Triathlon?
Oh, how cool would that be?
In our nation's capital, Bob?
I would love that. That would be the coolest thing. September 10th, is that when that is?
September 10th is when that event is. And I know just from following those athletes, as you, of course, do with
CAF,
connections to CAF and what you've done in that realm, a lot of those athletes are former military, and
yes,
and we would love to host something like that in our nation's capital. And that race is always around. In fact, last year it was on 9/11.
Wow, that would be
so occasionally it does fall on that particular day.
That would be perfect. The other thing that you've been involved with for years was Iron Kids, right? The Iron Kids series was something that you were overseeing for years. How important is it to get kids into our sport when they're 5, 6, 7, 8 years old?
Well, it's where it all starts. Simon Whitfield was a champion.
That's right.
And what is it called down in Canada, they have
it's like a Super Kids or something like that. Yeah,
exactly. And here's an Olympic champion. I know Hunter Kemper
came out of Iron Kids.
Came out of Iron Kids.
Nick Ratkowicz.
And so,
yes, Lance Armstrong.
it starts there. It starts there. If you've got a bigger pool of people to pull from, there's chances, and really good chances, that one of those kids is going to have some remarkable young talent. And it's just a matter of getting those events produced. And that was the beautiful thing about Hy-Vee, was at one point, Bob, we were producing 20 kids events in the Midwest.
Wow.
And the greatest thing about those kids' events were probably 40 kids triathlon clubs and triathlon teams popped up because of those events.
Yes.
And so I've always believed, you know, after producing my very first 70.3 in New Orleans where I live,
yes,
you know, out of the 3,000 athletes, I think, that signed up the very first year, 1,430 classified themselves as first-time triathletes. Well, I'm not, look, as a former runner, you know, and a pretty decent local runner here in the New Orleans area, I was stunned to realize that many people said to themselves, you know, I ran a 10K, I can do a 70.3, or I ran a half marathon, I can do a 70.3, and they got into it and realized, wow, this is a lot harder than I thought.
So they didn't have that. And they didn't have the stepping stones to get to the 70.3.
Exactly. And all I'm saying to an athlete that's coming into the sport of triathlon, and I think this is what USA Triathlon is saying, is, hey, why don't you do a sprint first?
Yes.
You know, why don't you do an Olympic distance first? I have friends of mine that come up to me and go, look, I'm thinking about getting a bike, and, you know, I really want to get a bike. What should I get? You know, I never tell them, well, look, why don't you go get this $8,000 Cervelo? You know, why don't you spend, you know, $500 to maybe $1,500 on a bike and see if you like it. If you really like it and this is something you want to pursue and do this recreationally and join a riding club and ride in your group rides, you know, then spend the, you know, $4,000, $5,000, $6,000 before you make that leap. That leap is gone now. People, it's not just a leap. It's like going to Mars.
Yes. It's like all of a sudden I'm thinking about doing a bike ride and I'm signing up for RAM.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly, Bob.
I'm signing up for
that
RAM.
Exactly.
I'm going to do a triathlon. I'm going to go do a 70.3. No.
That's exactly correct.
Start with a pool triathlon. Start with a sprint. Get into it. Learn to love it.
Yes. So what we're hoping is that these events, Nations, Philly, Lake Geneva, the Des Moines Triathlon, the New Orleans Triathlon, that those events, we're always going to offer a sprint component. There will always be an Olympic component. Some of them, and maybe all of them in 2017, will have an aquabike component.
Nice.
And some of them, and maybe all of them, may even offer a duathlon component. In New Orleans, we offer a duathlon as well. When the sprint triathlon takes off, the duathlon takes off, and they do their run while athletes are entering the water during
right.
the sprint.
Perfect.
So, you know,
the other thing I was going to ask you about is you mentioned to me that you created a tri-club series in down in New Orleans, down with a number of events down there, and
mm-hmm.
the number of people who were blown away by the scope of it, right? The trophy and the rest of it, that it did create a lot of excitement.
You know, Bob, that I think is where race directors maybe don't take the next step and go, you know, I'm going to create a competition here and have the clubs competing against themselves. We had, I think I want to say 10 or 11 clubs participating in the first Premier Club Championship here in New Orleans. And the way we set it up was, who's the best overall club? And so you had to submit a team in the Olympic distance, the sprint, the duathlon, and the aquabike. The teams were made up of two men and two women. And the competition was fierce. Team Black and Gold from New Orleans won.
Uh-huh.
And the buzz following the event was, okay, it's on. This is on for next year. We didn't take this seriously. We didn't bring all of our good athletes. This is on. Because not only did they get the trophy, what I created was the four athletes that won the Olympic, the four athletes that won the sprint, the four athletes from the team that won the aquabike, and the four athletes that won the team from the duathlon. Those four team members from those clubs, two men and two women each, won a yellow jersey like you get at the Tour de France. And so not only did they walk away with the club team trophy, but they got something even more special. They got something even more special, which was, you know, a yellow jersey that they can wear.
Right.
To showcase throughout the year that I was part of the team that won the Olympic triathlon.
I love that.
That I was part of the team that won the sprint triathlon. And so on. And those few things, just those little bitty tiny things, tying the clubs in made a huge difference at that event.
Well, it brings more people. Which is you get people racing more often because the tri club guys are committed anyways. But when they have more of an option, where they realize that hey, if I go there, that helps my team. That drives people, right? That gets people to sign up for maybe an extra event or two that they might not normally sign up for.
Well, what happened? What it created here was that team. The regular members on that club that didn't win part of the team award, they wanted a jersey also.
Yes.
And so we created a team jersey, and something like 87 members ordered that jersey. So they could all wear.
Yes.
So they could all wear that yellow jersey. And of course, we said, look, guys, if you've got members that want to pay for it, we'll be more than glad to order 87 of these jerseys
right.
So they can wear something similar to what the winners from those teams are going to be wearing throughout the course of the next 364 days.
I love that. So what type of feedback you've been getting since this news just broke that you guys took over Philly and Lake Geneva and Nations?
Well, it's been, you know, look, it's been really positive. I mean, look, the athletes just want to know that the races, one, are going to continue.
Yes.
And, you know, you're not going to jack the prices up, of course.
Right.
There's not going to be any major changes on the course. You know, of course, athletes at Nations want to make sure, you know, can you do a dance and make sure that the swim will never be canceled again?
Yeah.
And, of course, you know, no race director can guarantee that.
Right.
And so it's been really, really positive. You know, the one thing that I think people will see with Premier Event Management is that we are an endurance production company, and the endurance that we really have specialized in the last 25 years is triathlon. And so that's kind of what we do. As I said, Bob, we do maybe four or five running events, but that's, you know, we do 20 to 22 triathlons a year, and these are major, major productions in major U.S. cities.
I love that. So if people can go online and sign up now for Philly, Lake Geneva, and Nations?
Yes, they can.
What's your website?
Well, we have a new website, Bob, that's actually is being created. But all of our events right now are listed at pem.events.
pem.events.
If you go to pem.events, all of our events that are open for registration are listed there. You know, the company, heading into 2017, I realized, you know, we haven't had a company website in a few years. I just had event websites. And so we've created now this one hub, this one Premier Event Management site will house all of our events. And you will be able to register, you know, at that location once it's completed the first week of January. But every athlete that wants to sign up now for one of these events can go to pem.events, and every event that's open currently for registration for next year is listed there.
Love that. The other event that I remember from your days was 2004 Olympic Trials Honolulu. And anytime somebody talks to me about, okay, how do you put something on, how do you draw people to watch triathlon? You put the event on where people are. So that event was at the beach, right, on Kawakawa
exactly.
Boulevard. And
yep.
So you had probably the greatest Olympic trials we've ever had right there in front of thousands of people who might not even know what triathlon was but happened to be at the beach watching our guys run in one of the most popular destination locations in the world. How difficult was that event?
You know, it was difficult just because, you know, I mean, to travel to Hawaii is a 9-hour flight for me.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it was a crazy it was a crazy opportunity to produce something really, really special. You know, I never toot my own horn, but that was a great Olympic race course.
No question.
As you know, to design something like that that started at Waikiki Beach. I mean, we actually swam right there and had a platform, you know, attached to the jetty that goes out into the water right there at Queens Beach, which was, of course, the original location of the very first Ironman.
Yes, it was, 1978. Yep, right there
exactly.
By Sanssouci. Yeah,
that was amazing. Exactly. And we swam at that location. Transition was on Kalakaua Boulevard, as you know.
Yep.
The run, the bike course was five loops for the pros, five loops around, of course, the Diamond Head Volcano.
Yeah.
And which was just spectacular.
It was beautiful.
Oh, and then as you said, Bob, you know, when you've got 25 to 40,000 people laying on Waikiki on any given day, if you drop a triathlon, I think the women were like at 1 in the afternoon and the men were at 4.
Uh-huh.
You know, they're going to get up off the beach and they're going to come cheer people on. And that's exactly what happened. Because the run was a four-lap run back and forth on Kalakaua Boulevard. And that event probably was the most spectacular race in my career to put that together. And then in 2004, and then in 2005, if you recall, it was the age group.
Yes, I was there for both years.
ITU World Championship.
Yep.
And it was, Bob, and this is a little tidbit fact for your listeners and yourself. That year, the Hawaii Tourism Board had informed me that and I don't think this has ever happened since, the ITU Age Group World Championships were the first week of October on Oahu.
Yep.
Ironman was the second week on Kona. And the third week was Xterra.
Right.
On Maui.
Yeah.
And those three major events back to back to back with athletes from all over the world, that was the largest tourism month in their history up to that point.
Wow.
And that was because athletes came in droves. We had over 3,000 at the Age Group World Championships in 2005.
Yep.
And a lot of those Australians and New Zealand athletes and German athletes and France, they just stayed and went the next week to Kona.
They did. I know. They all came over.
And watched that event.
Well, that's the best thing is you come over, if you're not racing Kona, to come over and you're like, it doesn't make a lot of sense to just come over and spectate. Well, if you can race something the week before or the week after, then you extend. Right? You come race,
exactly.
And then you go over. I think it's cool. Bill.
That was a fabulous, crazy time.
It really was. Hey, Bill, congratulations on everything you're doing. And I personally appreciate all your investment to help make triathlon great, because we have a lot of competition out there right now, and the key is to be creative and to keep investing in the sport, which is exactly what you're doing.
Well, thank you, Bob. Thank you.
Bill Burke has been our guest. Again, it's PEM.events to sign up for any of Bill Burke's events, the brand new events, Philadelphia Triathlon, Lake Geneva, Nations. All three have Olympic and sprint distance events. Again, we are brought to you by Tough Man Triathlon Series, VeloFix.com, RunCatalina.com, Catalina Island Marathon coming up on Saturday, March 11th, the 40th anniversary. Our Challenge Athletes Foundation, we've raised over $80 million to keep challenged athletes in the game of life through sport. Check us out on Babbittville on iTunes, and definitely subscribe to our Endurance World newsletter. And as always, endurance lives here.